You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It's Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Jam-packed show tonight, as always. I mean, I always say it, but tonight, like, really, I mean it. At 8:30, Rich Kleiman is going to join us, of course, of 35 Ventures. Very tight with Kevin Durant, his manager, agent, and such. 8 o'clock, the great JR. We had to postpone him last week after the DeAndre Baker news broke, but Jim Ross, the legendary wrestling announcer, is going to join us as well. He has got a new book out, a memoir entitled Under the Black Hat, My Life in the WWE and Beyond. Good stuff coming from JR in a little bit. And of course, at 9 o'clock, it's your opportunity to embarrass yourself by attempting to beat the fat man. We will get to that a little bit later on. Here's the thought behind the notion that the Bulls would not have won a seventh ring. If you watch The Last Dance and you see how everything was unfolding, it would have been nearly impossible to try to make it happen. You saw how that team looked at the end of the 98 season. Michael was no spring chicken at that point. Okay, he's 13, 14 years into his career, 35 years old. Scottie Pippen is going to be 33 before the next season starts. Dennis Rodman, he had his medical issues, and of course he had his distraction issues. And if you really go and look at it objectively, he had only 35 more games left in his NBA career. And Phil Jackson was managing a traveling circus minus the cocaine of that first year of Michael on the Bulls. So let's take this piece by piece, shall we? Scottie Pippen's contract was up. The 7-year, $18 million deal that he signed, that Jerry Reinsdorf, quote, begged him not to sign, but said, if he signed it, don't come back and talk to me. That deal was up at the end of the 1998 season. Scottie was so ticked off about it and the fact that they never renegotiated it, that they never were willing to go ahead and give him a new contract anywhere along the way, let alone after the first three championships, but not in the middle of the second ones, that he waited to have surgery until the beginning of that season. And did you notice back in episode 1 and 2 that Michael Jordan said Scottie was wrong for how he handled it at the time? Did you notice that when Michael started talking at the end of episode 10 about coming back and doing it again, and everybody would have been in, and, well, Scottie would have taken some convincing, but there's no way Pip would have missed out on going for a seventh. There was one very clear omission, and that was a clip of Scottie Pippen saying that he would have come back. I don't think if you're doing that documentary that you're not asking Scottie Pippen, when you have him sitting down, would you have come back for that next year? I think by leaving that part out, you almost leave some of the mystique intact of the what if. The what if. Scottie Pippen was not coming back to the Bulls. His relationship with Jerry Krause was untenable. For those who said that Phil Jackson should have stepped in and tried to help maintain that relationship between Jordan and Pippen and Jerry Krause, well, Ron Harper tweeted earlier today that it only would have gotten worse. Phil Jackson said something one time about laying off a Krause, and the two of them were riding him even harder. So it would have only gotten worse. Phil and Krause's relationship was terrible to begin with, and he's still telling them to lay off, and it got worse. So Scottie's in the last year of that ridiculously cheap contract. He was going to get his. And frankly, he deserved to go and get his. When is enough enough? Six championships wasn't enough. You have to go for a seventh. I mean, you weren't catching Bill Russell, and nobody was ever measuring Michael Jordan against Bill Russell. When it ultimately came down to it, as much as Michael on the court was thinking about team, Michael was completely driven by Michael and Michael's legacy. Okay? Let's be fair. He wanted to win championships, yes, but he wanted those championships for him and to define the player that he was as the greatest of all time. We already recognize him as that. And if you don't by now, you're just not paying attention and you don't want to. So Pippen was going to go get his contract, no matter what. And it was clearly going to be somewhere else. You know, it's very presumptuous of Michael to say, well, Pippen absolutely would have come back. You don't know that. Not when that team's salary, not when Michael was making $35 million a year. Do you think Michael would have taken a pay cut? I mean, think about this. On that last year of the Bulls team, that 97-98 season, Michael was making $35 million and Scottie Pippen was making $2.7. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Then there's Dennis Rodman. How do you expect Dennis Rodman to not be a problem, or at least at some point cause a bigger issue as a distraction when he left during the finals, when he needed a vacation during the season? They were as accommodating to Dennis Rodman as they could be, and granted, they came away with a championship. And after he went to that wrestling match, he was unbelievable in the game, and he ticked off Karl Malone to no end, and he did everything he had to do. But there wasn't a lot left in the tank for Dennis Rodman. You know how I know? As I said a few minutes ago, he only played 35 more games in his career. So there's that. There's all the other role players that were free agents that were going to go get big money, that Luke Longley was going to go get. Jerry Krause was clearly not going to pay Luke Longley. Jerry Krause was not going to pay Steve Kerr. And we can point to the other role players that they had the first time around, whether it was Paxson and not even a role player, but to a higher extent, Horace Grant and those guys. Yeah, they were able to find other guys, but it's not definitive that they would have found two or three more guys who would have fit brilliantly and would have understood everything that they were doing that year. You can't guarantee you're going to get those guys. Jerry Krause, if you haven't seen it, there was an excerpt released today from a book that was never published that was Jerry Krause's side of the story. And he talks about a meeting that happened after the season in early July and all the different reasons why they weren't going to re-sign all of the role players. They felt like Luke Longley was going to get a massive contract and he was going to break down in a couple of years. He was right about that. It felt like Steve Kerr was going to get more money somewhere else. You know, the salary cap was something like $26 million and their payroll was at $61 million. Now, there wasn't a payroll tax, but I think we've established Jerry Reinsdorf was not exactly free with the buck, except when it came to Michael Jordan, because he knew he had to be. So with all those role players, they weren't going to spend that money. So they're not spending money on Pippen. They're not spending another, what, $10, $12 million on Rodman. They're not giving Pippen that long-term contract that he wanted, and the role players are all gone. You know, in some of the arguments that he lays out, Jerry Krause isn't exactly wrong if you go and look at it. He's not. Now, the way he handled things, he was a jackass with the way he handled things. Saying Phil could have gone 82-0 and he's going to be done was the dumbest thing that he ever could have done. Because that brings us to Phil, right? Number one, Phil was clearly exhausted. You talk about needing vacations. Nobody needed a vacation more than Phil Jackson did at that point because it was a circus. It was having to manage this group of egos and players. He did it brilliantly, but obviously it was very tiring to him. And then you have the media that are all following everything that's going on, and he has to deal with every aspect of it. Phil was toast at that point. And if you really read between the lines on everything, he wasn't going to come back. He certainly wasn't going to come back to coach a team that was going to be in rebuild mode. But he didn't want to come back, period. He wanted that break. He wanted to go do something else for a while. And, you know, we got into all of the spiritual crap that he talked about and burning the letters in the can. That's great. That's terrific. And if you want to grow, you really have to let go. Absolutely all true. Phil didn't want to be there anymore. He was ready to move on. He was ready to let it go, so to speak. So with all of that in mind, they were not a group that was definitively going to be able to run it back, even if they had all the players. Even if somehow you got them all to come back for 1 year and you're paying salaries upward of a total of $80 to $85 to $90 million altogether, they're not definitively going to do that because of how exhausted they looked at the end of it. And do me a favor. Don't give me the argument of the 50-game season the next year, because it doesn't hold water. The East was still as physical as ever. You still had the Miami Heat physically beating teams up. The Indiana Pacers were still there beating teams up. The New York Knicks were still there beating teams up. As we know, they ended up making it to the finals. So it's not any definitive statement, or there's not a definitive piece of proof that you can say, well, they absolutely would have won that seventh ring. But I'm glad they didn't try. Everybody else went down, right? The Lakers went down. The Celtics went down. The Pistons went down. Lakers went down again. Michael never went down. The only time the Bulls ever lost was when he was gone. I don't want to see Michael Jordan lose and cede the crown. I don't want to see that. I love the fact that despite whatever happened in Washington, he walked away from that situation with all of it intact. Nobody ever beat him. Nobody ever took him down. That's part of what makes Jordan, Jordan. I did not want to see him lose. I did not want to see that end that way. And I know his argument at the beginning was, you should be able to go until somebody takes you down. And maybe in his mind, that's the logical way to go out. But what he doesn't realize is this adds to his mystique. This adds to his greatness. This adds to his aura. The fact that he never lost is a big part of what makes Jordan, Jordan. So the Bulls not going for that seventh ring, to me, is the best thing that could have happened. Because when you look at that team and how they looked at the end of that, those 98 finals, you could not tell me that they would have taken down the Spurs the next year. Remember that Spurs team with Tim Duncan and David Robinson? You think they were beating the Spurs? I don't know that for sure.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, number one, you can absolutely call me the Michael Jordan of ordering late night pizza. You name the environment, I've done it there. I have. One place I would never, ever order late night pizza. At a Marriott in Salt Lake City, Utah. And not because it's coming from the Marriott, but you get the point. Who is ordering pizza in Utah? You played in Chicago, let alone Chicago deep dish. Okay, I get it. All right, you want pizza, you're hungry, you're fine. That's stupid. Number two, how did they know it was for Jordan? How is it that not one of his guys went downstairs to meet him and pay the guy? How is it they brought five people to the hotel to know what room to come to? Why are they coming up to the room to begin with? I know it was a different time and it wasn't as secure, but it's the Chicago Bulls. We all know they're there. And you're not meeting them in the lobby? Meet the guy in the lobby. There's five guys. And if Grover, the Tim Grover, who sits there and says, I got a bad feeling about this, don't let him eat the pizza. I fully believe that it was food poisoning from the pizza. I don't think it was anything else. I truly do believe that, because if you've ever had food poisoning, you know what it can do to you. And I don't buy for a second that that was anything, you know, Jordan going out and getting hammered or anything like that. You know, not the way that he was wired. We could talk about what he did with Atlantic City and the Knicks series and all that. That was not going out and getting hammered, okay? In this case, there's no way I am ordering pizza in Utah with as crazy as that crowd was. And he obviously had seen it the first couple of games of the series. He'd seen how nuts it was the first couple of games they played in Utah, I should say. And so you're going to do that? Made absolutely no sense, let alone ordering pizza in Utah. That, you know what I just assumed is, you know, the scene from Wedding Crashers where they drop a couple of eye drops into Bradley Cooper's glass of water and that's what gets him sick. That's what I assume they did to the pizza. That's rough. Five guys come to the door to deliver one pizza and they're allowed to get to the door? How does that work? Bulls security isn't around? When you're playing in the finals, they ought to have somebody tasting Michael Jordan's food. James in Long Island. Hey, James, what's going on?
Hey, Carlin, how are you?
Good. What's up?
But you just said, and I wanted to bring that up, the pizza thing. It's what you said was completely true. Like, how if you're the guys that are with Jordan, how do you let the pizza delivery guys, especially if there's five of them, come up to the hotel room? Like, why do five of them need to be there? That's the first thing.
And by the way, how did they know it was for Jordan? Did they know it was for Jordan, or did they just think it was for a member of the Bulls? What did they think?
And exactly. And then how do you let them come up to your hotel? Unless the guys at the hotel would have told them what room Michael Jordan was staying in, which I doubt that. But why?
No chance they did that.
But if you're the guys that are with Jordan, the smart thing would have been to go down and get the pizza in the lobby and been like, okay, thank you, or using.
And then you see five guys there delivering one pizza. That to me. You see it.
That looks.
You said,
yeah.
Michael, don't order this. I know you're starving. Don't eat this.
Yeah, that was.
Let's figure out another answer.
That's sketchy in the first place, having five guys deliver one pizza. And also,
You know what? Here's another idea. You got other people in the room, okay? How about one of them goes out and gets the pizza? How about that?
Yeah, you got great points there. And also, I think what I heard,
I am the Michael Jordan of ordering late night pizza. And this is so amateur across the board. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, when I saw it yesterday, I was almost, my head almost exploded. I just didn't understand the entire thing. And first with how he, but what amazed me the most out of all of it was that he played the next day out of it. And that led me to today's game, if that happens to anybody and you bring it into load management and all that stuff. Today's NBA player aren't as tough as they were back then.
I honestly think LeBron might play through that.
But maybe LeBron, but he might be the only one because I don't.
Well, but I mean, we're saying this about Jordan, James. And thanks for the call. That's the point. I think that LeBron is tough enough that he might play through that. The pizza thing is just mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling. Phil in Bloomfield next. Phil, what's going on? Hey,
what's
Phil.
Going on?
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm here. Good. Yeah, that is crazy, the pizza guys. That was. I think those guys wanted to meet Michael, actually. They didn't want to get his autograph. They wanted to see him.
Well, but they obviously did something to the pizza.
Oh, yeah. I think the pizza guy, whoever made the pizza, was probably the terrible pizza guy in the world.
I tell you, if that was a real documentary, they would have found those guys. they would have been digging and finding those guys who delivered that night.
It probably took 5 guys to make that pizza. That's right. A pizza in Utah?
I mean, come on. How do you order pizza in Utah? I don't even care if it's Domino's or Papa John's or anything. It's still not going to be good. Pizza in Salt Lake City.
That's the name of the show.
Oh, my God. I said this before, okay, Phil? You know what you do? You go with your instincts here. I interviewed for a job in Kansas City about 15, 17 years ago. They took me out in Kansas City, and I'm from New Jersey. They took me out for Italian and seafood. What are we doing? You got the greatest steaks on the planet in Kansas City. You got tremendous barbecue, and you're taking me out to those two places. You know what? They offered me the job, didn't take it. You know why? Because they obviously have bad instincts. I swear to God that's true. I swear to God.
Yeah, the pizza Mike had to munch. Late night. Yeah, it's only when you eat stuff.
Well, listen, that's about the only way I can buy it. If Mike and his guys were smoking up, which I don't think was happening, then that's about the only way I could buy it.
That sounds like a brand, actually.
Jeez. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Look, I'm blown away by that. I don't know how that happens. You got 5 guys on your security detail. Somebody run out and get the pie. Richard in Manhattan, fire the alarms. Let's go. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Chris. Chris, the year after Jordan left. So during the 98-99 season, April of 99, the Bulls played Miami Heat and scored 49 points in the game. Mm-hmm. That's the lowest point total by an NBA team since the shot clock was instituted in 1955.
And they had nobody on that team.
65 years, they scored 49 points. No one has ever scored lower.
Well, they had nobody on that team.
Can you imagine how Jerry Krause was miscalculated that team?
Well, listen, it was a combination of a lot of things. That's why it fell off. Anyway.
Phyllis George, what a story. You know, she was a trailblazer. She's the first woman on sports TV, the first one. And she was a trailblazer without trying to be a trailblazer.
She knew
her role. She was a very perky, nice lady. She was beautiful. And then Jane Kennedy came after her. Those were two beautiful women. I mean, you don't see women like that on TV now, in the movies, let alone on sports TV in the 1970s. They were wonderful to watch. They were great at a time that, you know, sports was really heavy duty in those days, you know, very male-dominated, and she was great. She was a great touch. And then Jane Kennedy came along. She was almost as good, and they were both so beautiful. But the funny thing of it, neither wanted to be. They didn't seek the job, as I read. They were offered the job because sports thought it was time for women to get involved. And do you remember them at all? Do you remember much?
Of course. Of course I do. I was letting you go there because I was trying to figure out how many different ways you could offend women in that call.
Why is it offending? I just remember I was 20 years old when they came on.
I know, and you're basically just talking about the only reason that they're there for being beautiful and all that. But anyway, Phyllis George.
Well, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I thought in 1970.
There's nothing wrong with that, Richard.
74. I mean, what?
Richard, I'm busting your chops.
But we were still watching sports for sports. We weren't watching for them.
I understand.
And you don't realize who they were until 20, 30, 40 years after. At the time, you didn't think much of it. You know? I don't know. You just didn't.
Phyllis George did a great job. Thanks for the call. Jane Kennedy was good, too. Was very good. And Phyllis George was a trailblazer. But you're going right. You're just going right there. Ah, she was beautiful. You never actually cited points of her work. The fact that she was on the NFL Today. That she was interviewing. She was doing a lot of different things. Phyllis George absolutely was a trailblazer. But, you know, going right to the locks. It didn't, let's put it this way, didn't really sit with me that Richard understood why Phyllis George was a trailblazer. Here's John in North Babylon. John, how are you?
Hey, Chris, how you doing, pal?
I'm good, bud. How are you doing?
I got to ask you one stupid question.
Yeah.
Why didn't they call the hotel manager and say, hey, could you open up the kitchen for Michael? I'm quite sure they would have said yes, even if it was for a bowl of cereal or made him a couple of eggs with toast. Something doesn't sound right with this whole pizza thing.
Listen, I think that could be true. You could make the argument that you don't trust somebody from the hotel from Utah to know that it's for Michael, all that kind of stuff. You know, listen, I do believe that he got food poisoning from it. I don't think there's any question. Because when you have something like that happen, if you've had it, you know what that's like.
Yeah, you know,
it can just absolutely destroy you. And yeah. I don't know how he could possibly even function after that. A flu or a situation like that, no.
And to your point, though, Chris, yeah, I agree with you. Do you trust somebody that's making the food? Okay, but if that's the case, then if the hotel manager says, yeah, I'll open up the kitchen for you, then one of the security people should have went down and made sure everything was okay.
Listen, that's fair. That's fair. It might be going a little bit far, but it's fair. And thanks for the call. All I'm saying is you got all these security guys. Somebody's got to be able to handle this the right way. No? How did they know it was for him? How did they know? How did they know it was for a member of the Bulls? How did they get to the hotel room? There's five guys there. Grover says, I got a problem with this. Come on, guys. Amateur hour. That's why you need somebody like me on that staff. Like, I would fit in as a member of an entourage so brilliantly when it came to the food side of everything. Handle it, no problem. First of all, we never would have been ordering pizza. Secondly, everything would have been done so that nobody knew who the food was for. And I would have made sure it was some kind of good food. This is what I'm saying. You know how you get it into an entourage? You get things done. That's what you do.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It is time for some Beat the Fat Man. It is your opportunity as television fans, television trivia dorks like myself, to take your shot and try to take me down in a trivia game, which I am 12-3 so far. 800-919-3776. We are soliciting contestants as we speak because we will have two contestants tonight. We did not do it Friday night because we were tied up in other matters, but there is an opportunity for you to take your chance against me in television trivia right now at 800-919-3776. Let's talk to our host. That's Joel Pollack. Joel, how are we doing?
Hey, doing good, Chris. How's everything over there?
Everything's outstanding. I'm doing great. I'm very excited for yet another edition of Beat the Fat Man. I want to make this happen. I want to give people a chance. I want, you know what we all need now, Joel? We all need hope. We all need hope.
But isn't that what you're taking away from our listeners?
Well, I want them to have it, and then I want to rip it out of their hand.
It's more fun that way.
Yes, it is. It is. Because when it comes to this, I am 100% cold-hearted. Some might say I'm a Michael Jordan of this. Some might characterize me that way. I'm not ready to do that yet. Will I scoff at you once I beat you? Yes. If I were to beat the equivalent of Gary Payton at this, and Gary Payton's talking about how tough he played me, but I still have the ring, would I laugh out loud at the glove? In fact, I would. And I don't believe I'd be wrong in doing that. And one other thing, I would never, ever order pizza in Utah. That's just me. So you see where I'm coming from here, Joel.
I absolutely do. And the whole time I'm just thinking it's like a New Yorker ordering a bagel somewhere outside of New York.
Yeah, it's tough to do.
It's tough to do.
There are no chains that you can really, there's maybe one or two chains you can trust. You know, any port in a storm, I understand the mentality behind it, but it's tough for me to get behind it.
I can't.
Well, let's get a little sampling of our contestants tonight, shall we? Here's Paul in Connecticut. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Paul, do you know a lot about television trivia?
Unfortunately, I do.
Unfortunately, you do. How old are you, Paul?
I'm 43.
Okay. Are you confident in your abilities?
I'm 100% confident. I got the psych question that you didn't.
Okay, so you watched psych.
Well, yeah, it's a good show.
Okay. Hang on, Paul. I mean, like, strike one right there. Zach in New Jersey is next. Hello, Zach.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, man. Living the dream.
What part of New Jersey are you from?
Union County, Westfield.
Ah, I used to live right in Scotch Plains.
You're
a rich fella, aren't you?
Oh, God, no. We live on one of the handful of poor streets, but thank you for assuming.
Yes, there aren't many. Poor in Westfield does not exactly equate to poor.
Zach, do you know
a lot about television trivia? Have you spent a lot of time watching the television?
I do watch the television on occasion, yeah. I do television trivia pretty well.
All right, hang on. So Rich Boy on line two, and then there's Gary in Brooklyn. Hello, Gary.
Rich Boy on line two. What's up?
Gary, how you doing?
I'm okay. I just ordered some pork lo mein, a big quart of it, and I know since you're going to be Michael Jordan's food tester soon, I was thinking maybe you could taste some of it.
The MSG does some real damage to me, to be frank. But
okay.
How old
we
are you,
spoke
Gary?
Before. I am 40. I have folks, I did face you several weeks ago. We went to overtime, and I lost. You beat me. You called me a loser. So I'm just being honest. So I'm just trying again. And, yeah, that's it, pretty much.
All right, hang on. I don't know that I love that. Joel, thoughts, comments?
Well, Gary's just going to have to wait. The fact that he's been up, you know, he's going to have to wait his turn to go again. We've got two guys who haven't had a chance to get embarrassed by you, so.
Everybody deserves it.
Right, everybody deserves a chance to be embarrassed.
So, Paul in Connecticut, you're up first. Paul, you're going to get your crack at beating the fat man. How are you feeling about that?
I'm very hopeful, and I'm appreciative to get the chance.
Oh, okay, trying to be magnanimous. Hit the music!
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
They're calling again.
If you know who shot Mr. Burns and what planet Alf comes from and who was on a break, then you might be able to beat the fat man.
Well, here we are. Here we are yet again. Tonight, first contestant, that's Paul from Connecticut. Joe Pollack, give me the rules.
Here's the way the game's going to work, guys. I'm going to present each of you with three questions, one each from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s television. Whichever one of you gets the most answers correct is going to be our winner. Now, if the score is tied after three rounds, we're going to go to overtime, where the first one to win a round is going to be declared our winner. Now, our contestant's going to get the question first, and Chris is going to go in an isolation booth, where he'll be able to hear nothing until his turn.
Nothing until my turn. Are you ready, Paul from Connecticut?
Yes, 100%.
Yet another rich guy getting a chance. All right, Paul, let's go.
All right, to the booth you go, Chris. All right, Paul, here we go. From the 80s, in the TV show Knight Rider, what does KIT stand for?
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Fair enough. Let me bring Chris back in. Hey, Chris. Oh, Paul's sighing big over there. All right.
That's a big sigh right there.
From the 80s, in the TV show Knight Rider, what does KIT stand for?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know.
And Paul didn't know either. The answer is Knight Industries 2000.
I knew the first word was Knight, but I did not know that. Okay.
We would have also accepted 3000, as there were two models on the show.
Ah. Wow. Knight Rider. Okay.
All right, let's move on to the 90s. Back to the booth you go, Chris.
Okay.
All right, Paul, here we go. On the Drew Carey Show, what is the name of the beer franchise that Drew and his friends own?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Where are you pulling these things from? I have no idea.
Yeah, it sounded like you weren't going to get that one right off the bat.
No, not at all.
All right, let's not let Chris know that you didn't get it right as I bring him back in. Hi there, Chris.
Okay. Hi.
On the Drew Carey Show, what is the name of the beer franchise that Drew and his friends own?
Oh, God.
Ooh.
The Drew Carey Show. I should know this.
I would think you would.
It had something to do with Cleveland. I don't remember.
The answer is Buzz Beer. And neither one of you got it right. So we're going to round three.
Listen, you are outdoing my futility tonight. You've caught me on a bad run of questions, and you're not taking advantage. Shame on you, Paul!
I know.
Right? These are very answerable questions, so I'm a little...
Yes, they are, and Paul, I am 0 for 2. I should have known Buzz Beer.
Paul, this was your opportunity, man.
I know.
All right, here we go, though. Round three. We're going to put Chris back in the booth. All right, Paul, 2000s. In the TV series Lost, what is the name of the group that conducted scientific experiments on the island?
Oh, my God. It's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, my God.
Got to give it to me.
Is it the others? No.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I swore.
Hey, all good. All right, we're going to bring Chris in. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
In the TV series Lost, what is the name of the group that conducted scientific experiments on the island?
That's the others, isn't it?
Wait, I know the answer.
All right, well, what's your guess? Because you both got it wrong.
Isn't it Dharma?
Yes, it is the Dharma Initiative, but you're a little late, so...
I know.
Overtime! Oh, boy.
We're going overtime.
By the way, I lost another show I did not watch. But I wasn't there a thing of the others? Wasn't there something about that in there?
Yeah, that was definitely part of the show, but that was
you're
not...
there. Relax. You're getting your chance.
We still got you, Paul.
Settle down, Paul.
Oh, okay.
We're going to overtime, and this is, you know, God, this is Vancouver, Quebec in a 0-0 tie. Not exactly a shootout.
Oof. All right, here we go, overtime. Back to the booth you go, Chris. All right, Paul. What star of The Breakfast Club was also part of the original cast of The Facts of Life?
I think it was Ally Sheedy.
Sorry, Paul. Let's see if Chris gets it right. Hi, Chris.
Yeah.
What star of The Breakfast Club was also part of the original cast of The Facts of Life?
Yeah, that's Molly Ringwald.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's Molly Ringwald, yeah.
That's right, and Paul missed it. So, Chris, you're our winner.
I would just say that Paul's the bigger loser tonight. Because Paul, honestly.
Oh, I know. I should have won.
Just go home and tell your mother you're a flop. Because
yeah.
I was right.
You never missed that many.
No, I was ripe for the picking, and you let opportunity sail right past you like a fastball right down the chute.
Yep, I got Dharma too late.
All right, Paul.
Have a good night, guys.
Take care. Wow. Wow.
That was
a rough. That's like running into a bad run of cards playing blackjack right there for me.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, that was bad. But yet here I am still standing now, winner of 5 consecutive matches. And we have another one coming, don't we?
Oh, do we ever?
We do. Zach from New Jersey will get his opportunity in moments. Stay with us as Beat the Fat Man continues on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
And now I've got Zach up next, who I have been able to add to the list because, oh, Zach's a rich guy from Westfield, New Jersey. Okay.
Okay.
Listen, Zach, I know the town, okay? Poor in Westfield means you only have 2 acres, okay? Let's be
cool. Oof. Oof. You haven't been here in a while, I guess.
All right, Zach, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it.
All right, we'll get right into it. Into the booth you go, Chris. All right, Zach, from the 80s, on the TV show Cheers, Sam Malone played what position for the Red Sox?
Oh, I know this. It's got to be a pitcher. Yeah, I think he's a relief pitcher.
That is correct.
Correct. You got that one right. Let's see if Chris can match that. Hang tight. Hiya, Chris.
I've been here meditating, trying to clear the mechanism.
Oh, good. Good. Then you should be ready for this question.
Mm-hmm.
On the TV show Cheers, Sam Malone played what position for the Boston Red Sox?
He was a relief pitcher.
Correct. And Zach got that correct as well. 1-1.
He better.
Right? We're doing TV and sports now. If you're going to call up to the station, you got to get those.
Ah, yes. Okay.
All right. Back to the booth. All right, Zach, 90s. On the TV show Boy Meets World, what is Corey Matthews' older brother's name?
Eric.
That is correct.
All right, good job. I think we've gone kind of easy, but let's see if Chris gets this one as well. Hiya, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
On the 90s TV show Boy Meets World, what is Corey Matthews' older brother's name?
Oh, God. I should know this.
You should know this.
You should know this.
Corey Matthews' older brother.
Got to give me something.
Nothing.
The answer is Eric, and Zach got it right.
Oh, really?
Really?
Well, I'm up against it now,
aren't
I? You're
up against it. That's right. So we're going 2000s. I'm going to send you back to the booth, and we'll see what Zach can do.
Okay.
All right, Zach, 2000s. Set in the days before he was Superman, what is the TV show where that tells the tale of a teenage Clark Kent?
Smallville, dude.
We have a winner, and Chris doesn't even know it yet, so we're going to wait until he...
He's not going to know it.
Yep, let's find out. Hi, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Set in the days before he was Superman, which TV show tells the tale of a teenage Clark Kent?
Smallville.
Correct. But Zach got it right also.
Oh!
Yeah!
Oh! Damn Boy Meets World!
Yeah.
Damn you!
You got a little tripped up tonight on some of the easy ones.
Well... I wasn't as locked in on Boy Meets World as I should. Even though I guess technically it was prime time. It was on Friday night, wasn't it? I mean, does that count?
I think so. It was on for a long time, too.
It was, I know. Family Matters was on Friday night, so it obviously counts.
Yep.
Well, I hope you're proud of yourself, Richie Rich.
You know, Chris, you did your best, man. And in the spirit of The Last Dance, I'll just say, nice game, Chris.
And with your arm around me, I will then get a chance to torch you like LeBradford Smith again at some point. Well, you did earn it, Zach. Congratulations. Go order a pizza from Ferraro's. I'm not paying for it. And, hey, let me tell you something. The mozzarella and carrozza from Ferraro's. Oh, my God, do I miss that.
Hey, man, I used to deliver for them in high school. I'm very familiar. So I'll call back, all right?
Oh, my God. They must be cleaning up during the takeout time now.
They're killing it right now.
I'm sure. Zach, listen, you win an ESPN prize pack. That's not very much. That's not going to get you out of the slums. But nonetheless, you can tell your friends, you can spread it all over social media that you did beat the fat man. Congratulations.
You know, there's so many people to thank.
We don't have time for that. Thanks. Have a good night, Zach. Oh, a boy meets world question takes me down. Wow. That's disappointing, Joel.
I know. It wasn't your night, and you still came away with a W, though. So, like,
yeah, I know, but still.
I know, you're hard on yourself, and you should be.
I'm hard on myself with the one. Listen, you know, should I have known the Knight Rider one? Yeah, probably. Boy Meets World, I absolutely should have known. I absolutely should have known that, and I should have known Buzz Beer from the Drew Carey Show. I did watch the Drew Carey Show. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah, we didn't go too deep on the questions. Those were pretty surface stuff. I kind of expected you to get those.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here we are.
You get them on Monday.
We will bring it back Thursday this week. We'll have a substitute host. We will bring it back Thursday this week, your next chance to beat the fat man.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.